it's conference for designers, like for these people who design things, design
stuff. Who are not us, essentially.
It was the first time I spoke to such a big audience. I mean, in total, there were, I think, 1,800 people on the conference.
Wow. The conference. I should catch myself more doing that. I don't want to be, you know, like you.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. There's my Amazon guy coming. Another day, another you know, packet from Amazon, you know.
Is this the same guy as in episode, what is it, like 8? So you have your personal Amazon delivery guy.
It's the same guy. Yeah, it's amazing. He knows me so well, you know, and yeah, it's the same guy. It's really the same guy. So I mean, every now and then there is a different guy, but like most of the times it's this guy, and today it's him.
Right. That's good. Yeah, we have the same postman for like 20 years, you know.
Yeah.
For as long as I can remember, that's for sure. And as you know, there's a bunch of my family living like really close by.
Yeah, right.
And so like he knows all of us, and like whenever like a package comes, but one of us is not at home, then another one of us in another apartment can pick it up. And since I'm working from home, that tends to be me. And by tends, I mean like I
get
all the packages. Yeah.
Yeah, it's same here. I mean, he knows us. He knows our neighbors. So he knows that if I don't pick up my my packages, he goes to my neighbor and just leaves it there, and he knows it's gonna be fine, you know. And the other way around. So, and because my neighbors are German, so my neighbors, when they come to me to pick up their packages, they're like, "Hello, Michael from the Deutsche Post." So I'm the, you know, a German postal service for them.
Yeah.
So really, but it's cool. I mean, that they know us. So yeah, it works very well.
It's rare these days to see have this personal touch in something as commoditized as postage delivery.
Yeah, but anyway, something I've been thinking about was that very often people tend to ignore people that do these services for you, you know, the ones, you know, that clean things, you know, the ones that, you know, deliver things, the ones, you know, that, you know, the security guys and all these things, you know, they very, very often people are not like, they don't have this common courtesy, right, to say hi, good morning, you know, these things. And I've always been, you know, very like chatty, you know that. So
yes.
I would always say, hi, what's up? Like I don't know, I'm Polish, but I would be like more the American way, you know? Like, what's new? Like, you know, this small chit-chat with these people. And I remember when I was studying in Germany, and then I left for 1 year to Spain. And I came I came back to my German university after a year. We went to the local canteen. And you know, I entered the canteen, went to the to pick up some, you know, some food, and the kitchen staff was like, "Hey, Michael, you're back. How are you? How was Spain?" You know, like, and a girl who was studying in on this German university the whole time, so like she was there all the time. Yeah. She was like, "How do they know you? They never talked to anyone." And I was like, "No, they always talk to me. So I always talk to them. So it was fine." But they knew all about you. I mean, and you haven't been here like for a year, and they still remember your name, and they know where you've been and all these things. Yeah, because I talk to them when I get food. I talk to them. We have a chit chat, and you know, these personal touches, I think they make our days. You know, they are really good things. You know, people do these very often, you know, jobs that from some perspective can be, you know, mundane, but when they, you know, can chat a while, you know, have some human connection, I think it's really good. And it's the same with our, you know, Amazon delivery guy. I mean, I really like this guy, you know. So whenever he comes, you know, the other day he came and he was like, "Hey, how was your running? Did you run today?" You know, like, just because the other day when he called me that he had a package for me, I was running, you know. So he remembered that, and we started talking about it. So, like, I think, you know, these things are really nice, that when people are nice to each other and are just, you know, attentive of each other, of, you know, that they're not robots, you know, doing things for us, but they're really people, you know, doing these services, you know, we should treat them as such.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, celebrate this, you know, this human touch.
Yeah. Well, today I think, I don't know what's your agenda for today's episode, but I wanted to talk about all about human touch, because I wanted to talk about my whole weekend, crazy weekend in Warsaw.
Nice t-shirt.
Thanks. It's from the conference, from Eleven Talks, the conference that
what,
we...
What conference? What is that?
Yeah, it's the, conference is an event that happens...
No, the other thing.
What's...
The Element Talks.
Element Talks.
What is that?
So it's conference for designers.
Mm.
Like for these people who design things, design
stuff. Who are not us, essentially.
Exactly. So like we, mm-hmm. the only thing we understand is design, you know, apps and websites, right? And they design other things, like, you know, chairs, you know, furniture, interiors. Gardens, I have no clue. I mean, things, you know, they design things. No. I mean, posters.
Money comes in, nice things come out.
That's the thing. That's the you know, basically the idea. Yeah.
Yeah. So those are designers. Yeah.
These are designers. And they have a conference apparently here, actually organized by two really, you know, power women, Paula and Olga. If they are listening to the show, you know, thank you so much for a fantastic conference. Like they're awesome. young girls finishing college right now, and they've already done the three editions of this, you know? So like they're really, you know, fantastic.
Yeah.
So they did this conference, and they are using Nosby actually to get everything done, which is good. And this is why they called me and asked if I could, you know, speak on their conference and talk about, you know, time management, project management, for designers, because they should know how to get organized. And I was like, yeah, why not? And then I got more involved, and we actually became even a sponsor of the conference, and we had a booth and, you know, all these things. So we'll be speaking, I mean, we'll chat about it, but it was a fantastic weekend. Lots of things happening.
So you're teaching productivity to designers.
Yeah, just think about it. You know, like if you looked at the speakers page and at the program of the conference. So there's one designer showing some portfolio or some, you know, some things. There is another designer with some case study, you know, of design. Mm. And there is some other designer, and there's some design agency from New York there, and there is some other design thing. And then there's this Michael Slewinski with productivity.
Yeah, sticking out as a like a sore thumb.
Yeah, it's like, you know, who is this guy from, right? I mean, why is he even here, right? I mean, my speech was like a totally different, like, you know, totally different thing, you know, for them.
Well, I haven't seen your speech. I haven't been there, and I'm pretty sure it's not online yet. But I like the idea, because like I think that there's this notion, at least some people seem to have this notion that, you know, like designers or writers are these magical butterflies who just like
unicorns,
a strike of inspiration, and magically amazing work comes out. But it's really not true, as far as I can tell. I'm neither a writer or a designer, but you need many of those same disciplines as in everything else. You need to apply yourself to the work again and again, and you know you need, and especially in those fields, you need a lot of focus, like focused attention, long spans of it to get your work done. But then like if you have all of these things that constantly vie for your attention, then you neither do those things and everything falls apart and clients are angry, nor can you actually focus on doing your best work. So like it's like, you know, you need those productivity skills and discipline and everything else as much as a designer as if you're anyone else. So yeah, I do like the idea of you being the crazy productivity guy on a designers conference.
Yeah, and for me it was great on many levels, because it was the first time I spoke to such a big audience. I mean, in total there were, I think, 1,800 people in the conference.
Wow.
The conference. So it was really big. But on the in the audience, there were more than 1,000 people. You know, it was full. Wow. It was full packed. There were even people standing, you know, in the back, right? So when I appeared on stage, so there's one tip from me here, what to do not to freak out, because, you know, you have, you know, 1,000 pairs of eyeballs looking at you, right? So yeah. What I did is I prepared a tweet saying, you know, the audience it looks great. And then I just appeared on the stage and I took a picture of and I said, you know, guys, you look beautiful. Smile for me. And I just took a picture of the whole audience in front of me and tweeted it, you know?
Such a showman.
It was great because for me, I had something to do, you know, when instead of, you know, standing there seeing 1,000 people and freezing, right? Out of, you know, shock. I had something to do. And then I tweeted it. And people immediately started retweeting it or posting pictures from their side of the audience. And I got to know it after the speech, but there was a very good reaction. There was a good vibe and it was a good start of this. And so that was one thing. And second thing is I in my presentation, I used the power of threes. You know, if you read books like Slideology, I think that was the book about
what?
There was a book called, I think, Slideology or something like that. I have to, you know, Google it. But there was a book about, you know, presentations, and there was a book, The Presentation Secrets of Steve Jobs, and I mean books like that. So when you read books like that, one of the things they tell you is that Steve Jobs used to try to simplify the message by saying, you know, I have three things for you, right? Like, for example, mm-hmm. in his famous commencement speech, Stanford commencement speech, he said, you know, I have three stories. That's it. No big deal. Three stories. And of course, no big deal. I mean, one of the, you know, most retweeted and, you know, and viewed speech in the human history, right? No big deal. So what I did...
Yeah, and the iPhone presentation, like, it was three things.
Exactly.
The Apple Watch presentations, it was three things. And in a conference I've been to last week, I definitely, like, now that you're saying it, I totally been to a talk, maybe more than one, that was structured a lot like that. Like, hey, here's a few topics for which I'll give you three things.
Yeah, and that was... And because, you know, the thing is that, you know, this way you simplify your message and you make sure that people actually remember, you know, what you just said. Because if you just, mm-hmm. you know, talk, because, you know, about productivity, I can speak so much. I wrote the 10 steps book, you know, and a 10 steps course. I mean, seriously. And then each step I can just be talking. So I started off with some presentation about, you know, who I am and what I'm doing here. I don't know what I'm not doing here. And then I started with three myths, productivity myths. And then after that, I went to, after I, you know, crushed these myths, then I went to just three things that they should remember after this conference. And three things that they can, you know, do right now to just improve mm-hmm. their productivity. Three things, you know, that they can, you know, just start doing right now. And with that... I really liked the way it was structured and the way it went, the flow. And like in the middle of the presentation, I put the video of Piotr Rubik, you know, the famous composer, who's there, you know, clapping and showing off. And then he's using Nosby. So to just prove that creatives also need a structured system, productivity system like Nosby. And then, you know, I finished it off, you know, with all these myths, with these three, you know, takeaways. I repeated them in the end of the presentation, of course, again, mm-hmm, just mm-hmm. to make sure that the message sticks. And then, because we had a booth there with sweets, uh-huh. I told them, like, so the conclusion is, productivity is sweet. And if you don't believe me, go get some candy from our booth. And really, everybody after the presentation went to our booth to get the candy. So you know,
nice.
I used all the weapons I had to get people on board.
You weaponized people's attention.
Yeah.
So was the talk in English or was it in Polish?
No, it was in Polish because the audience was more... I mean, I could have done it in English, but more audience was mostly in Polish. So that's why I decided to do it in Polish.
Interesting.
Which is... also difficult for me, especially because Polish language is a very difficult language.
Yeah, I only once did public speaking in Polish, and it was a very bizarre experience.
Yeah, it's very hard, and especially, you know, for a person like me who speaks too fast, you know, pronunciation and the way, you know, I speak, I had to be really mindful of every word I would say, which is not easy if you're standing in front of more than 1,000 people and trying not to make a fool of yourself.
Yeah, what I consistently find while rehearsing for my talks and then observing the time as I'm speaking, I'm always using Keynote for, you know, Apple Keynote for making my presentations, is that I always speak faster.
Yeah.
Quite a lot faster on stage. Like I would rehearse a few times my talk at home, and it would come out to be like just about the same length, right? Like to the, you know, 20, 30 seconds.
Yeah. Right?
And then I'm doing it on stage and I catch myself that I'm like halfway through, but, you know, it should have taken like 8 minutes and I'm 5 minutes in, right?
All right.
And so like I always speak much faster, but I don't catch myself doing it. Like I guess there's like... even though I feel quite comfortable generally being there and speaking, that there is still some pressure that people are just like looking at me, and maybe this is why I just automatically start speaking faster.
Yeah.
But yeah, I should catch myself more doing that. I don't want to be you know, like you.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Well, I think I'm the same. I try to rehearse and prepare. Like I on purpose, I prepared a shorter speech. I had 45 yes. minutes, but I wanted to make sure that if I have a shorter speech, like less slides, then I would not, you know, speak too fast, because I wouldn't want to, you know, chase the time.
Right.
But I finished it off at 35 minutes. So I had like 10 minutes before, and there was nothing else to say. So I just... you know, stopped it.
There was no Q&A?
No, I mean, after that, people just came to me and like privately asked questions. But sure. There was no Q&A. I think, you know, there was a strong argument against Q&A after my presentation, is that it was lunchtime.
Ah, yeah.
So if people have to choose between asking me some questions and going get a lunch, and especially... Yeah,
it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, and especially if, you know, it's 1,000 plus people and there are two food trucks only, and you have to just queue for your hot dog. I'm sorry, for your veggie hamburger or... burger or some other, you know, good stuff, then you really better, you know, queue up. That's why, yeah, I was like that.
Yeah, there's a lot of talks on MCE, which, you know, like they're supposed to be about 45, 50 minutes long with Q&A, because like they always started at full hour. But there were some which were like, it's like half past and they're done.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, like it wasn't much of a problem. There was like a common area between the stages, because there were four stages, four simultaneous like tracks on the conference, and so there's a bunch of people always like being in the common area, so you could always like do some chatting for you know, during the breaks.
Yeah, so one of the things, for example, for me, I prefer both as attendee and as a speaker, but mostly, I mean, more as a speaker, to have conferences which have only one track.
Yeah, it's easier.
It's easier to manage. Everybody knows where they have to go, you know, and especially as a speaker, you know, you get there, you prepare yourself, and then, you know...
You get full attention.
You don't get, you know, if you have so many tracks, you have to fight for people to come to your, you know, presentation, and then if they don't, then, if they're like, you know, you get just a fraction. Oh, no. It's like you just always get a fraction of people who will listen to you.
Yeah. Well, here, it made a lot of sense to some extent, because... Like one of the great things about MCE, the conference I've been to last week, is that it is diverse,
right,
in a way. Mm-hmm. It's like mobile, you know, stuff, right? Development, and it started like in the first year, it was like mobile developers.
Right.
But here you had a bunch of iOS developers, you had Android developers, you had designers, you had product people of all sorts. So like this was the great thing, the the sort of sharing of ideas, the intersection of all of these things. But obviously still not everyone was interested in everything. Like I was interested in a lot of design / product things, but not in Android things, right? So that makes sense. But then again, like there are things like I were on some talks which were like not awesome, and then I heard all the great things about some other talk that I was at the same time, and then you feel like you missed out, which you wouldn't have if everyone was on the same thing.
Right.
And on the other hand, like I know that there was one in particular talk which I found very interesting, but few people were there, especially few people from like my iOS circles. And so I was, you know, telling everyone about it, but they weren't there.
Okay.
Because they had to choose from one of four things.
Yeah, yeah. It's so speaking of the, you know, because just to explain everyone, to everyone. So we met on Thursday because your conference was Thursday and Friday.
Yes.
And then you left on Saturday and my conference started on Saturday and Sunday. Because of some coincidence and everything, my flat in Warsaw was actually free, available. So we converted it into Nosby HQ. So actually,
kind of, yeah.
Kind of. So we stayed in my place, which was, you know, a little surreal after many years of not being there, but it was great. I think we should explain how we managed to send you to San Francisco, just, you know, by accident. Know what I'm saying?
All right. But before we get to that, like the great thing about this idea of like, you know, like, I stayed at your place, or a year ago, we were both in London. So
yeah,
we shared a hotel room just because we could. And the great thing about it was that I was like busy the whole day, right? Like from the morning till the late evening. So like I didn't, you know, like we were in the same city. It's a rare opportunity. We should use, but like we wouldn't have any time during the day to do that. And this way, like we could you know, chat and have a drink like in those two evenings and in the mornings.
Exactly.
So that was very enjoyable. And so on Friday morning, you were like, I wonder if we should go to WWDC, you know, the Apple's conference that happens in June in San Francisco, where all the great new things happen and
exactly. All
the developers are there. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, it's cool, but it's like such a pain in the butt to go there. It's so expensive. It's like, I don't know. But you're like, okay. Let's say this. Say the company pays for the ticket, the conference ticket, which is like $1,600, so it's not exactly cheap.
No, it's not.
You could get a pretty nice Mac for this.
Yep.
Instead of, you know, upgrade from your iPad, your toy.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, everything else we'll split 50-50. Would you like to go? So I run my numbers and I was like, you know, it's still like not a cheap sort of holidays.
Not really.
But yeah, I mean, let's go. It's going to be fun. I'll learn something. I'll be somewhere abroad. You know, haven't been there in 2 years. Like, it'll be fun. Like, and I mean, anyway, they won't pick me anyway, because there's like 20 or 30,000 or more iOS developers who want to go there, who want to give Apple $1,600 to listen to, you know, a week-long advertisement.
Yeah.
But there's only 5,000 seats in the conference and you can't reasonably make it a larger conference. So in the past, they just sold those tickets on a first-come, first-served basis. But in 2013, if I'm not mistaken, it came to the point where all the 5,000 tickets, you know, all the $8 million in sales were made in like 60 seconds.
Yeah, it was.
And like you had to be notified that the ticket sales have started, and they had to react within 60 seconds to get the ticket. So since then, they had this lottery system that it's this amazing lottery, probably the only lottery in the world, where the price for winning the lottery is the opportunity to pay Apple $1,600.
Yeah, instead of getting anything. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I put my name there, you know, almost forgot about it. Then we came in. There was a fun story when I realized like someone mentioned WWDC to me on MCE and said like, are you sure you have $1,600 on your credit card? Because if they can't charge you,
you're out.
Then your ticket will go to someone else. And I was like, oh shit, I don't. And so I tried to change it on my phone, the limits on my card, but I couldn't do it. So, and I left my Mac at your place.
That's correct.
So I borrowed a friend's Mac to log into my bank to change the credit card limits. But then I forgot about it again, came to your place, checked my email, nothing there. Then I switched to Twitter. Then I switched to mail again, like 5 seconds later. And there was Apple Online Store. Your order is being processed.
What?
And I was like, no, impossible.
Yeah, I remember, like,
so that's the story.
It was just before us going. I mean, we had a nice evening, we had a beer, and then we wanted to go to sleep, and you're like, Michael, I think they just charged me money. And I was like, what do you mean?
I'm pretty sure it was like 1 a.m.
Yeah, it was 1 a.m. And like, what do you mean charged you money? Yeah, they wiped up my account. They charged, you know, they charged me the $1,600. I was like, no way.
Yeah.
Yes way. And then, yeah. Then it was great. It was great. So, so I also went online just to quickly get you your money back. So that, yeah, but it was fun. It was, just to clear this out. Both me and our CTO Tomasz, we wanted to go to this conference like for I think 2 or 3 years straight, and we could never win the lottery. And then suddenly, like, you know, this time I decided, you know, not to participate because I'm not a developer, and I think the only person from our company who should be there is actually you. That's why we just put your name there, and then suddenly you just win and you win the lottery and you're going.
It's like super strange because it's hard to believe that, like, if what I'm hearing is true, something like 5 to 10% of people signing up actually win the ticket, and it's kind of hard to believe that I would, like, just on the first try win a 1 in 10 or 1 in 20, opportunity.
You're a lucky guy.
Yeah. So, fun week, huh?
Yeah. But then comes the best part. I mean, so your conference, then you left, and there was our conference, which was also pretty cool, of us having the booth. You know, we had a booth of Nosby, so yeah, people could come.
We never had a booth.
No, it was the first time ever. We had a booth. No, I mean, I was a booth. I mean, I had a booth on the GTD. It sounds strange. So on the GTD summit, so Getting Things Done summit in 2009, so many years ago, I also was a kind of sponsor. Nosby was a sponsor, so I had a booth there, so I could also demo Nosby to some people. But apart from that, like, we as a Nosby team now, we didn't have any materials, anything to actually show people, to give people, like, all these things. And And after 2 days of this, one of customer support team, she said that being on Nosby booth on a conference, she thinks it's a good therapeutic experience for customer support person. Because she says, you know, when you're customer support, you mostly get emails like, huh, it doesn't work, huh, it sucks, huh, it doesn't work, you know, these kind of emails, right?
And negative.
And then when you're on the booth, people come over, hey, I use Nosby, I love it, you know, I'm like, and they tell you this in your face, you know. Like, she says, like she said, she was so overwhelmed and she was so happy there, you know.
Yeah. And it's very cool.
Yeah. And she was, you know, sitting there the whole Sunday, you know, and I thought, you know, she would be miserable there, you know, and she was happy because she had so much, you know, positive interactions of people who either didn't hear about Nosby and wanted to learn about it, which was also cool,
yeah,
But then people who actually used Nosby and they just wanted to say hi, right? And wanted to say how they loved it. So she said that, you know, cool. that next time we should do these things more often for customer support, just to send customer support, you know, people there so that they get this positive vibe, you know, in person.
Yeah, and you mentioned something but didn't explain. It's the best idea ever. I don't know who thought of this, but this is amazing. So at the booth, we bought a box, 5 kilogram box of Nosby branded
candy
fudges.
Yes.
And they're like I love those things, yep. unfortunately, but I love them.
They're really good.
And they were not just like some, like, when you have this swag, like I don't know, like pens or other stupid things that they sell, like, with branding, they're usually, like, pretty
crappy,
poor quality. Yeah. But no, they were proper fudges, proper...
very good ones.
Yeah, very good ones. I do wonder if when we say fudge, do people think of the same thing? I don't know if this isn't a Polish thing.
I don't know. But anyway, candies, sweet, well, whatever.
Anyway,
you know.
They were great. They were great. And they were Nosby branded. They were like productivity fudges, like energy pills.
Yeah, we'll link in the show notes, you know, to our Instagram picture of that so that you could see, yes. actually see it. You know?
Yes, and unfortunately or thankfully, depending on your point of view, I forgot to bring any with me back home.
So we wanted to give some, like, because on Monday we decided, you know, because I just came, you know, today is Tuesday and today I came back home, and because mm-hmm. I was leaving on Tuesday, we did an event, which I'll explain in a short, on Monday for our Nosby users. And what happened was that we thought we would have some of these sweet little productivity thingies for Monday, but by the time the conference was ended, they were gone. Yeah,
I'm not surprised.
Yeah,
and actually, now that I think about it, your suggestion to your audience to go get some productivity fudges was brilliant. Not just because there were productivity fudges, but because you were just before lunch and people were dying
right?
for some glucose.
Right, it was perfect timing. It was, and people and our team said that
very well.
They were like overwhelmed. There were so many people coming in. It was great. And so on Monday we did an event because we're actually launching my 10 steps productivity course, which already is on the internet. We are launching this as an ebook in Polish. Hmm. And we want to do it a little bit differently. What we want to do is not only just copy, you know, verbatim what I said, you know, in the videos, but actually augment it with bonuses, with some additional, you know, links to articles, with some additional things, with user stories, you know, and with some additional mm-hmm. tips and tricks. And we want to just make it, you know, a great ebook. And to do that, we organized like a, you know, book launch team. You know, you know, we just emailed, you know, our users, and some of them replied and wanted to join the launch team. I think there is a like secret Facebook group with these people, with Polish people, and they're fantastic. They are very, very active there, like 70 people or something. And 30 of them came for our meetup, you know, on Monday. So we rented a place, we got some catering, and then they came to, you know, to basically, you know, talk to us, you know, see me, and you know, just talk about the book and you hear me talk about the whole thing. And I felt like a rock star. Man, I mean, people, everyone who's listening to the show, thank you, and you were there, thank you so much again. I mean, just think about it. People came, it was in Warsaw. Like, Warsaw is in the middle of Poland, you know, geographically.
Right.
And I thought, you know, Warsaw is a big city, you know, people from Warsaw will come and that's it. Nope. There were people who came just for this, you know, 3-hour meeting. They came from Wrocław, from Krakow, from Sandomierz, from Lublin, from Poznań, from Tricity. Like, they came from all over the place. It was so humbling, so, you know, overwhelming. It was amazing, you know. They came to see us, you know, to talk to us, to meet us in person, and because they were so enthusiastic about the ebook and about the, you know, the project and about, you know, working together with us. It's so, wow, I just after the conference, cool. and speaking to 1,000 people, like then meeting with these 30 enthusiasts from that came for me and for us, like from all over Poland, like, you know, man, I felt like a rock star, really.
Well, I didn't have anyone come to me from all over the place, but one thing I really enjoyed about MCE, I feel like I'm repeating myself. I might have said that an episode ago, but there were people coming from really all over the place, like from all over the world, not just from Poland, not just from Europe. I can't exactly say, I might be biased by like the people I hang out with, but I have a sense that at least 40%, and I think the majority of people were not from Poland.
Wow.
Which is quite rare. Like you don't expect the big international conference to which everyone comes in to be in Warsaw. You expect it to be in London or, I don't know, somewhere in Germany maybe, but not in Warsaw. That's rare. That doesn't happen very often. And I just thought it was so cool. Like I remember one night we were kind of sitting, the eight of us on an after party, at a table at some restaurant in the middle of Warsaw, and like every single one of us was from some other, from another country.
Wow.
Right. So there was someone from Russia, from Hungary, from Spain, from England, and there was me from Poland. There was someone else. Like it was very cool to have all these faces with all these different experiences from so many countries. And yeah, it was quite a blast too. And speaking of teaching people productivity, I was really surprised to find myself being in this place, but on some other occasion, like a day before, like we were at a dinner, and I was talking to one of the speakers and some friends from Macroscope, and I found myself explaining to them the power of GTD and weekly review and why they should do it and how they should think of it. And they seemed genuinely not just interested, but like, huh, okay, now I get it. Like, I can't exactly tell, but it seemed like this is what they were thinking. And I think one thing that I did right is that I put a lot of these concepts in terms they would understand, they would get.
Right.
I compared them to ideas that programmers get.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
and I think that was a good idea. And so, yeah, I would never think that I would be the guy to explain to someone, you know, why GTD is an interesting, useful structure. But yeah, I think I taught some people some productivity. So
Radek, you're the productivity expert now.
yeah, the number two.
Apparently, that's great. Yeah, now it's, that's why, again, you know, going back to where we started the show, that even in the internet era and no office and all these things, you know, we are still, people do business with people. People make friends with people. So like people connect to people. Like that's the idea, right? Wow. So these conferences or events like that, you know, they like, you know, they are like recharging the batteries, you know, like, you know, getting to know people, like, you know, reconnecting.
No. Recharging the batteries is not a good way of putting it. If you're speaking to anyone else than an extrovert.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe you're right.
Conferences are amazing and there are a lot of things, but they are really, really exhausting.
That's true. But on the other hand, you know, they make you more, you know, hopeful, more, you know, I don't know, optimistic. I don't know, like motivated. I don't know, for like you said, you know, that you met some few people who know about React Native or Swift or are just involved in these projects. They like,
right,
it pumps you, like it motivates you that, you know, I will be working on that. So I know this person, so I can actually connect with them, you know, if I have some questions or whatever.
Yeah.
And because, you know, we saw each other, it's a different thing when I now email them than if I didn't. Right.
True. for what it's worth, though, many of the people I met and had a lot of fun with were people I met before on the internet. Yeah. And if I hadn't like already know of them, or if they haven't, like if we're already following each other on Twitter, there's a good chance like we would have never met, or we would like only exchange a few words instead of, you know, having a blast on the conference together, right? So it's a very interesting opportunity where like you meet a lot of new people and also meet a lot of people you already kind of know, but you get to know them and spend time with them so much more than you would on the web. And so yeah, it's quite a blast. It's a lot of fun. It's useful.
Mm-hmm.
Like it is useful to get to know some people who might be relevant to the work you're doing. And you know, always great to make some new friends.
Yeah, totally. The good thing also, some productivity tip here. You know, just before the event, which I thought was brilliant, the organizers of the conference, the Element Talks conference, they organized a dinner for the speakers, which was right. Brilliant because then, you know, it was an informal dinner. It was an informal dinner, like, you know, this kind of, you know, we call it in Polish, a Swedish table. So like you just, you know, you don't sit by the table. You just go and, you know, pick a few things and just, you know, eat while standing. So you actually are being forced to actually stand and talk to some other people, you know, instead of sitting, right? And being forced to spend the whole evening, you know, with the person next to you. So it was really good because it was very formal. It was actually in an apartment of one of the organizers of Paula, and so what I did was that before going there, I asked my assistant to actually create a project with every speaker as a task, just to, you know, to do some research on them, you know, to make sure who I am talking to, right? So you know, on my way there, I was just going through these tasks, you know, reading about the speakers, reading about their names, you know, who they are, what they do. So it was really helpful because then when I got in there and I saw a few people that, you know, that I just, you know, memorized from just, you know, a few moments ago, I could just go talk to them and talk about the stuff they were doing and then ask them some questions, and then like very quickly I was there in the conversation and the whole evening, I mean, there was not a moment I wasn't speaking to someone, you know, I was talking with someone. So it was really a very good thing. And then later during the conference, we would be like buddies, you know, like it's the first time we saw each other, but because we met on this dinner, you know, an informal moment, then later during the conference, like we would high five to each other, you know, and give us some tips, tips to each other about, you know, speaking here or ask for feedback. And we would be like, we really became kind of, you know, buddies among speakers, you know, just because of this dinner. Yeah. So it was really a good idea.
Yeah. Making a project with tasks for every person, although it makes sense, sounds so much creepier than when you mentioned this in episode 39, when you did that to us, your employees.
Right. Yeah, but you know, that's how I you know, operate with my assistant, and that's a good thing that she could, you know, do the research on people. And but it's, I mean, it sounds creepy, I know, but on the other hand, it's great because you know. A little bit, at least, some background on these people, you know, before you talk to them, and also, you kind of know who's.
You have a place to start a conversation, really.
Exactly.
Yeah, like this is one of the reasons why this conference was so much different and better than many of the previous ones, because I already got to know many of the people there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which I didn't have before. So, whereas it wouldn't be normally sort of natural to me. I had the same thing as you. Like, for the 2 days of the conference, there were very few moments where I wouldn't be like talking to someone, mm-hmm. right? But what helped is that there are a lot of people I already kind of knew or knew from the internet. Or I also kind of looked at the speakers list to kind of figure out what who the different people are. And there were some people who knew me, which was very bizarre.
Right.
That wouldn't happen before, to have like people come up to me and say like, "Hey, Radek." I'm like, "What?"
Yeah, actually, on the meetup, on the Nosby meetup, there was on Monday there was a guy from an Apple focused magazine,
yeah,
and he was there when I was telling everyone this story of our WWDC thing that you got the lottery, and then I said, you know, we decided that, you know, Radek, that our developer is he should go there because, you know, he's the expert in Swift. He's one of the best developers in Swift in the whole world, and and he should just learn from the best, you know, from the directly from Apple, you know, when he's there. And then he said, yeah, you're talking about Radek. Yeah, we know. Everybody says that he's fantastic.
You're shitting me.
No, this is what he said.
What?
So to the listeners, I'm seeing Radek right now. He just grew like 12 feet now. Right now, he's just taller right now.
No, but I'm not taller.
That's true. I mean, really, that's what he said. So I was also proud. So yeah. So you have a good image there, man, in the community. That's good.